Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. I am Union Tribune sports editor Ryan Finley here with Kevin Acey. Kevin, what's going on, man?
Oh, what happened? Where was the music?
Oh, you didn't hear the... I heard the music. You didn't hear the music?
I did not hear a single thing. I'm sitting here preparing, thinking that John Kelly was still doing something to make us sound good, and all you guys are just watching me, and then you heroically, you step in and you start our podcast. I don't know. Have I done 300 of these? First time I have never heard the music. As I fear at this point in the season, I am losing my mind and the music was playing, but it just didn't register with me. Anyway, hello, Ryan. Lots to talk about. Where would you like to start? Because believe it or not, I am ready to go.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame you for feeling like you're losing your mind, given some of the baseball you've watched. Padre fans got to see a very good, very consistent baseball team over the weekend, and they got to see them take 3 of 4 from the Padres. The LA Dodgers are legit with a capital L. Took it to the Padres, especially the last 2 days, Sunday and Monday. I guess, Kevin, the broad, glib question is, where are we now after that series heading into a two-game set in Seattle?
You know, I think we're where we thought we'd be. I mean, honestly, I think we exchanged texts on Saturday night, agreed, or at least you posed it in the form of a question that I felt like you were saying, and I agreed that it was the biggest win of the year. And here's why I thought Saturday night was the biggest win of the year, because it meant they wouldn't get swept.
Yeah.
It meant to me that no matter what happened the next 2 days, like, you know, they'd probably be like 4 games back, even if they lost both, which they did. It meant they bounced back. And this isn't the team they're chasing. They're not in a good situation, to answer your question. They're still right there. I wrote about it in the newsletter a couple days ago. There's a clear path to the playoffs. That doesn't change the fact that that was awful. That was awful in many ways. There are many troubling things happening, primarily with the pitching. Bryce Miller wrote about it today. We could talk about it. It's been a disappointing season. None of that is changed by the fact that they still play, 7 against the Diamondbacks in the next 2 weeks. They got 3 against the Marlins next week or the week after that long homestand. They've got 3 against the Phillies. They've got 7 left this season against the Giants. It's there for the Padres. If just for 2 weeks they can be the team that they are supposed to be. I say that unabashedly. I'm gonna stop qualifying this like, oh, the team we expected. Oh, the team we thought. The team they're supposed to be. If they can do that, it's right there for them. That's my take. That's what I think is real. Again, I want to stress that doesn't mean this hasn't been really ugly.
Yeah, yesterday especially, I thought had a little bit of a gut punch feel to it. Padres get up big early. I'm sitting there watching and listening and going, okay, well, they'll split with the Dodgers. All things considered, that's pretty great. And then here come the Dodgers. And the one thing that LA seems to do, at least when they play the Padres, their stars shine when they play the Padres. Mookie Betts hit a grand slam yesterday. Freddie Freeman got on base every time he came to the plate, it felt like. He, by the way, I came away, my takeaway from the weekend is, I'm not sure there's a better player in the National League right now.
Oh, love him. I think Freddie just amazing.
And he, one of the, I think it was Jesse Agler or Tony Gwynn Jr., had the great point where he can be whoever you need him to be at that moment. If you need a single, get a single. If you want him to let it rip, it can rip. They got great performances out of their star players. The Padres, not so much. And I think, Kevin, this is where I want to start. Fernando Tatis had an RBI double yesterday. He's been an objectively not good player here in the last 3 weeks, month. What's going on? What is going on there?
He's in a funk. I mean, he's batting 119 since July 23rd. That's 14 games, I believe. So we're talking about, you know, a little over 2 weeks. He's chasing. He's frustrated. And when Tatis is frustrated, now he's growing and he'll grow. But when he's frustrated, sometimes things tend to tumble. That's been the way in his career. And then he pulls out of it and he's back to being Tatis. But you're right. Right now, for 2 weeks, it's kind of like, oh, Ha-Sung Kim's going to get on, and then Tatis is going to come up. And that is something, I mean, we're not talking about living in a parallel universe. You just don't see it. I do want to say this. Things could be a lot different. Since July 24th, Bobby Witt Jr. has hit 9 balls at least 378 feet. He is 7 of 9 with 5 home runs, a double, and a triple on those 9 balls. Mm-hmm. Gary Sanchez has hit 8 balls. He is 7 of 8 with 6 home runs and a double. Tatis tied for second most balls put in play at 378 with his teammate Gary Sanchez, and he is 3 of 9 with 2 homers and a double. He has lined out or flown out to center field 5 times.
Wow.
Hit the ball to left field. Pull the ball. That's what we're always telling players. Pull the ball. Don't use the whole field. No, I'm kidding. But so there's no doubt he's in a funk. There's no doubt he's hit some hard grounders. And you know, not gonna, you know, don't that I'm not like he's in a funk. Had a few more of those balls fallen, wouldn't be talking about his funk.
Yeah. I mean, he had, I think yesterday, Kevin, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Tatis had an infield single on a very nice play at third by Kike Hernandez.
It was called an infield single, changed to an error, as it should have been.
Oh, as it should have been. Kike Hernandez, but again, it should have been a ground out. And then he's a 5-4-3 double play victim later in the game. Now, that ball was blistered. Don't get me wrong. He hit that hard. And the peripherals say that if you're hitting the ball hard, good things are going to start happening at some point. But, I mean, it seems
you go 2 weeks.
It seems to me, Kevin, there's been a lot of Ha-Sung Kim leads off the game or the inning with a walk or a single. Tatis comes up, and it's either a double play or a ground out. And
or Grisham Cronenworth on base. Mm-hmm. Ha-Sung Kim extends the inning. Tatis ends the inning.
Yeah, which you don't – I have not come to expect from a guy who I think when he's at his best is their best player. And
right.
It's just – it's, you know, it's funny. All the time and energy and column inches and words that we spent earlier in the year wondering what was wrong with Juan Soto, wondering what was wrong with Manny Machado, those two guys have essentially reverted to who we think they've always been, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now it's
even
Tatis.
Even if Manny – cooled off, Manny's still not really getting sometimes letting you down in times when you really needed him, and that would be especially in contrast to when the Dodgers are in town and their guys, and it's been that way in all 3 series that Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, and even to some extent JD Martinez. And if JD Martinez is playing the Xander Bogaerts role, which is, you know, the 4th best of the big 4, then, you know, the Dodgers are just fine. But they have the other 3 guys, and in particular the 2 guys that are performing, and the Padres do not. But yes, you're right. Manny has come through quite a bit. I believe even after yesterday that he has more home runs than anyone since July 1st, more home runs as in the major leagues. Juan Soto, the OPS has fallen a bit. It might not be this case now, but over the weekend, it rose to be above his career average, which, like, you know, it's like, when is Juan Soto going to be that guy? Well, he has been that guy. So, yes, you're right. But I've been preaching this. I've been pounding that drum. People have been talking about depth. Yes, okay, fine. But the big four is what was supposed to be what carried them. They're not. That thus means the big 4 is the problem for the Padres. It's not the only problem, but it could mask these guys playing to their career norms could mask a lot with this team. They would be a playoff team if those guys were performing to their career norms. You cannot say that about Jake Cronenworth, Trent Grisham. Heck, Ha-Sung Kim is far more than anyone thought that he was. I don't even the Padres, okay? And you know, whatever else you want to talk about, the big 4 is letting down the Padres. That's all.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, you know, Kevin, they just all aren't hitting at the same time. You know, we had that talk early in the year, Kevin, where we went, well, Tatis has been great. Bogaerts has been great. You know, if only Manny Machado would figure it out. And then Manny and Soto figure it out. And then Bogaerts gets hurt and then falls off a cliff. Now, Bogaerts appears to be back or better than he was before the All-Star break. Yes. And Tatis has fallen off a cliff. And, you know, when you talk about when the story of this season is written, Kevin, they're either going to make the playoffs despite all that, or they're going to make the playoffs because of all that, or miss the playoffs because of all that.
Right. They're 3-3 since the trade deadline. By the way, the team they're playing is 5-1 since the trade deadline. The Mariners, we didn't mention that because of Ryan having to save me at the start of this episode, playing the Mariners 2 games. I'm here in Seattle. The Mariners have won 5 in a row. What is it? Hold on. 7 of 8, 10 of 12. You know, the kind of run the Padres need to go on. The Mariners freaking sold at the deadline. Now, like, they didn't, like, sell off like a fire sale, but they didn't buy. And they're three traded games out of the wild card in the American League. They traded their closer. They traded A.J. Pollock. You know, they're running into a hot team. So, anyway, yes, you're right. And I'm – look, I'm with you. I want to amplify what you said about Xander Bogaerts. I think it's hitting 320 since the All-Star break. The reason that I was making those faces I make and sort of he's okay, is the guy has, like, 2 RBIs since the All-Star break. He's not – doing what a $25 million a year player. He hasn't done that since the first 30 games of the season. Now, we've had the wrist situation, but, like, Xander Bogaerts isn't a number 5 hitter right now. Like, he's a number 7. You'd be like, all right, cool, look at our number 7 hitters hitting 320. You know, and that just can't go on.
No, they can't go on.
Not
that
slugging. I think he has 2 doubles and a home run or something since the All-Star break. It just can't go on like this.
If the Padres are a leaky boat, Kevin, it seems like they've patched some of their problems and then sprung new leaks. And the latest leak to me is starting pitch. And, you know, shortly after we finished our last conversation on Friday, the Padres announced that Joe Musgrove's out essentially indefinitely, at least 3 weeks, with swelling in his shoulder capsule. This is a team that is still awaiting the return of Michael Wacha. This is a team that, with its season hanging in the balance the last 2 days, ran out Rich Hill, who was shelled, and ran out Seth Lugo, who's been great. Well, he was not the good Seth Lugo in Monday's loss to the Dodgers. If they need to find somebody to plug into this rotation, what are their options?
Well, Nick Martinez will go today.
Right.
Pedro Avila, who, I'm telling you, Pedro Avila is one of those guys who, every time he's come up, not every time, but it's been like, what, a half a dozen times this guy's come up since, what, 2019 maybe? Mm-hmm. And every time, I just said it again, but like a lot of times, this guy's going to give you 5 innings and 1 run. And it's like, and you know what? He's got a lot of confidence and he has a good curveball. And maybe that guy's an option. Now, I'm not trying to sugarcoat this. Everything you just said is correct. And yeah, like the Padres still do have the most quality starts in the National League. Disparage the quality starts if you must, but I wrote about it the other day. Look at what other teams do when they get quality starts. Mm-hmm. But my point being, the starting pitching has been largely healthy despite Joe's troubles early in the year. And has been really good. And right? Like, now they couldn't capitalize on it, right? Like, everything else good, they couldn't capitalize on it. And here's what's happening. By the way, like, don't ask me about an injury today. Like, 3 shows in a row, right? You've asked me about an injury, and like 6 minutes after we finish, it's like the opposite of what, you know, the team has said and or like I have speculated. Just stop. It's like, I can't predict what is going on with injuries. The Padres doctors can't. So they're options. They're going to, like you said just a little bit ago, either they're going to or they're not, right? Like, either they're going to patch this thing together or they're not. The bullpen, Luis Garcia's pitching in a 6-run game, like a minus, not a plus, minus 6-run game yesterday. Scott Barlow got shelled. Bad day when the opposing team scores 13 runs and they scored in 2 innings. Seth Lugo gave up the most earned runs in his career in 1 inning. That's it, in his career in a game in 1 inning. And Scott Barlow, the new reliever, gave up the most runs he's ever given up in a game in an inning. So bad day.
What are Vince Velasquez and
we both just did our Ted Leitner come? We both just did a Ted Leitner impersonation. Bad day. Got to repeat the words.
Just repeat it. Later we'll refer to them as dem boys and my Padres versus your Padres. I love Ted Leitner. You stepped on my where's Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta when you need them wisecrack there at the end, Kevin.
It's because very, when I you see know, there's a lot of things that are reminiscent of that year. It hasn't got to that level yet, but it has echoes.
Yeah, I have a little PTSD from that season, just from my previous life as a guy who watched the Padres for fun. And When I see guys struggle to get out of the third inning, and when you go, well, it's okay, we'll convert a reliever to a starter. When those things happen, I break out in hives. And so very curious to see what the next week brings. And Kevin, I think that's what we should talk about next. Like you had said earlier in the show, this is all still right in front of them. I mean, yeah, you look bad against the Dodgers three nights out of four, but the teams that they're playing in the next week, week and a half are the teams they need to leapfrog. I mean, Seattle's, you know, interleague, yeah. But then you're playing the Diamondbacks in a four-game series and a three-game series in the next, what, 10 days?
I mean, yeah, you're playing the Diamondbacks who've lost 18 of 23. The Marlins come to town in a little bit. They have lost 17 of 22. Now you have the Cubs and the Cincinnati. Cincinnati's holding the final wild card spot. You got them ahead of you. But when you've got two teams, the only reason the Padres are in this, for as much as we've talked about, oh, they had the second best record in the major leagues in July, it wasn't great. It was 15 and 10. I mean, that's good enough if you hadn't, you know, blown it in a couple of previous months. But, you know, as much as we're talking about they're playing better, the reason they're still in this is because the Marlins and the Diamondbacks, you know, have come back to earth, right? Mm-hmm. It took longer than we thought. They've come back. You've got the Cubs in front. They've won 15 of 19. But this is entirely doable. And, like, there's no way to quantify this. I don't care if you took the year it would take to go through, like, all of the rosters ever of teams that were four games back with 49 games to play, and you compared the rosters. I don't know there's a precedent for a team underachieving this badly that is four games back. And what I'm saying is a team that, like that, seemingly could turn it around and go on a run here and win 12 of 15 and be two games up in the wild card race. That I don't know, because I'm not talking about a team that started out with great expectations and suffered some injuries. The Big Four is healthy, guys. Like, you know, relatively speaking, right? And tell Joe Musgrove, the pitching staff, just fine. Like, the bullpen, just fine. Haven't, you know, other than Drew Pomeranz, who you didn't expect to have anyway, just fine. I'm talking about a team that has no excuse, other than that they're playing poorly, that is sitting here four games back, that you're like, I'm talking about opposing broadcasters, writers, coaches that I know, players that I know. When they come to town or the Padres are in town and you talk to them, they're like, how's this happening? It's not like in 21 where opposing teams eventually were like, yeah, we're playing them and there's something wrong, right? Like you can kind of see it. That's not happening right now. People are like, what is going on? People smarter than any of, like, either of you and I in terms of baseball smarts, have been smarter than, you know, most people listening in terms of baseball smarts are like, what is happening? How are they not doing this?
Because again, the peripherals say they should be good, right? I mean, the run differential stuff, your Pythag stuff, if you believe that that is a way to explain the future a little bit, or predict the future a little bit, this is a team that since like May should be much better than it is and just isn't at this point. Kevin, let's talk about the Mariners a little bit. Not just because they're the Padres' natural rival. Can I use air quotes? Natural rival. Huge. The Eddie Vedder Cup. Somebody else came up with that idea. You know, this is a franchise that reminds me a little bit of the Padres. They can't seem to settle on uniform colors. They've had superstar players. You know, Ken Griffey is their Tony Gwynn. It seems like they're competitive most years. Like the Padres, this year there were some great expectations in Seattle, and they have just kind of fallen short. What's gone on there, and where are they as we enter this two-game series?
Now, here's the thing. Like I said, they've won five straight. They are three games back in the wild card. Everything you said is absolutely, I agree. I think they did it more like the Padres. Like, they got good players, right? They made some good trades and did what they did last year, made it to the division series. But they don't have the Padres payroll or the Padres supposed talent. It's disappointing. I don't think it's anywhere near, like, people have debated, is it the Padres, is it the Mariners earlier in the season, is it the Cardinals? I think the Padres are the most disappointing team. Yes, the Cardinals, yes, that's a historic franchise that's always there, and they're having a terrible year. But, like, The Mariners are a good team. You look like boom, boom, J.P. Crawford, Ty France, Julio Rodriguez, their pitching staff. I mean, like, poor Blake Snell, you know, I don't mean to get Blake in trouble. You know, he'd be, you know, he could still sign here. Wink. But like when he becomes a free agent, he'd love to come back to Seattle. They got way too much good young starting pitching to sign Blake Snell. So this is if you want to talk about a team that's set up, I think they did real well at the trade deadline. I don't know what they got back. I don't pay attention to anyone like I pay attention to the Padres. What I'm saying is they traded, they got some things back to help them maybe in the future. They didn't really give up much. And like I said, look at them. They're 5-1 since the trade deadline. I think they have a really good team. I think this is a very, it's a difficult series. They face Logan Gilbert, who they've had trouble with, and they face Brian Wu. I think now the Mariners just called up one of their top pitching prospects, but he's not supposed to pitch here, I don't believe. So right now it's Logan Gilbert and Brian Wu going against Nick Martinez / bullpen, depending on how far Nick can go. And then tomorrow, Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish. You know who they got when they traded Paul Sewald, by the way? USD's Paul Sewald.
Yes. They did. You know who they got one of my favorite players.
They got your boy.
Yes. Yes.
Josh Rojas.
Yes.
Josh
Rojas. Never met him. Might go see him today. just absolutely. I just think he's a gamer. He's a gamer. He's a guy. I like him.
And a couple of minor leaguers, I believe, from the Diamondbacks. Yeah. No, it's interesting, Kevin. Yeah, it's a weird series to sort of put in the – it's coming off a piggyback or a wraparound game Monday. You're putting it right before a huge series with the Diamondbacks. Just very, very strange all the way around.
Yeah, let's be honest, man. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. If this trip doesn't go well, then we're talking obituaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
They go 1-5?
Kind of occurred to me. Like, yeah, like, I don't want to be dramatic. I don't think I am being dramatic. But, yeah, 1-5, I'm 1-5, you could be 7 games out. We're done. I don't give a darn after that. You're out. You're done.
Right. But it's also a chance to leapfrog it. And this is a different show. Yes. This will be Friday's show. Is the Diamondbacks are a wounded animal at this point. And it's a chance to, I mean, you get them now twice in the span of a week to make up ground on a team that was playing much better than the Padres were until about a month ago.
You know what? Early in the year, maybe young guys hadn't found their footing. I mean, the Padres, split with them and then took 3 of 4, right? Mm-hmm. So that's Padres took 4 of 6 then. It's been a couple years. They kind of owned them. They don't get to face Madison Bumgarner anymore. But, what's happened with the Diamondbacks is what we thought would happen. Got a really good young team with some really good parts, some dangerous players, the pitching depth. And look, the grind of the season, man, the grind of the season for a team to get through is it's rough. And so that's why baseball is as long as it is. And the Padres need to take advantage of it now.
Right. The reason why people still talk about the amazing Mets or the Rays that made the World Series that one time is because, by and large, many teams are who you expect them to be in baseball, plus or minus 10 games, right? There's not – I mean, this year I think the Mets are an exception. I think that the Padres are on their way to being an exception, maybe the Cardinals. But most teams are what their roster says they are.
Right, right. There's a couple teams that have jumped up, maybe exceeded their window, like opened it up a little sooner. I'm super impressed. Can't wait to see the Orioles in town at the start of next week. But you are correct. Exactly. That is why I have spoken so confidently, not like, oh, they're going to make the playoffs, but confidently that it's not over, right? Because history in this game, more than other sports, tells you what is going to happen a lot. And
you can't hide.
Whatever. Anomalies happen, though. It's beauty. I hear that's why they play the game.
I've been told that that's baseball. Real quick before we go, it's a small sample size. I was a little surprised that G-Man Choi is playing as much as he is, and a little surprised that Garrett Cooper isn't. Is this their role going forward, or is it just dictated by the handedness of the pitcher?
It is at this point dictated by the handedness of the pitcher. G-Man Choi, who's what now, 0-for-8 with like 2 walks. I think this is what you got, right?
Right.
This is what you got.
Okay, so this is essentially a straight, we're envisioning basically a straight platoon here?
Yeah, that's what Bob Melvin has explicitly said, and that's what it has been so far. I mean, and then not maybe early in the game a couple times, maybe at least once I thought of Choi faced a left-hander, but that was early in the game. It was too soon for Bob to pull the trigger on that. But other than that, then Cooper has come in to face a left-handed reliever.
Kevin, I know that you don't go to games for fun, but obviously you are fans' conduit to the team. What sort of blowback or reaction have you gotten at all to the Padres' decision to raise season ticket prices for the third straight year?
Those are tough because I don't put a lot of, notice I'm not saying that I put no stock, but I don't put a lot of stock in what is said on Twitter because it tends to be the mob mentality. And, you know, that's basically the modern day version of tar and feathering someone or drowning a teenage girl because we think she's a witch. That's Twitter. But the blowback has been severe. The timing is not good. And I do think the reality is, I mean, it's a question. Here's my first reaction. Yeah, they were going to raise ticket prices. The payroll's up. It's not entirely Peter Seidler who was going to, shoulder the burden of this payroll. After not raising ticket prices for what, 5 years, they have for 3 years in a row. And I know that for some people that means that what they were paying 3 years ago, it's up 50, 60, 70%. A really good question is how much is too much?
Right. A mutual friend of ours, perhaps a former co-host of yours, tweeted this morning that his season tickets have gone up 70% since he first bought them.
And so I think it's over the 3 years.
The 3 years. Right. Yes.
Since the rises. So what that means, and let's just say, I do not know what Jay Posner pays for his tickets, but I know that he has a half season ticket. Always been impressed by that. Puts his money where his mouth is, right? Could go for free. Puts money where his mouth is. Takes a friend. Takes his wife. But let's just say it's $50 a game. So he was paying $2,000, $4,000 for two tickets. He's now paying $6,400 for two tickets, if that is the case, right?
Right.
Okay. I mean, Jay's rich. Doesn't matter for Jay. But let's just say that. Let's just say that he wasn't. That's a big deal, man. That's a big deal. Or is it 6,800? Actually, the math. I don't know.
You're talking to a journalism major.
Math is not it. I mean, but look, that's a lot. I'm not saying the Padres are wrong. I'm not saying this isn't how it goes. I didn't get a chance to look it up, but. Season ticket data isn't the same as how much it costs to go to a game, but the Padres still are not like the most expensive. I mean, like this was going to happen, but it is a question in this market with a team in fourth place that might not make the playoffs. How much is too much? Interesting that in the letter that was sent out, that the email that was sent out to season ticket holders signed by Eric Grubner, the CEO, you know, he didn't just say there's a waiting list. He said, there's a waiting list. A lot of people want your tickets. Good for them. But they're letting you know, hey, there's a lot of people that want this inventory. So
right. Yes, Pete, we'll right. See. Don't do anything rash. Yeah, I'm of the belief, Kevin, and again, I don't have season tickets. I've got too many kids to have season tickets. Because you got to take them all. But here's the thing. The reality is, I think if the Padres were five games better in the standings, this wouldn't be a story or as much of a story at this point. I think that, and maybe Jay can speak for himself on this, but I think that if the big four were delivering and if this was the best season in Padre history or looking like it might be, that sort of news might go over a little bit better. The reality is they picked a terrible time to raise season ticket prices because they the Dodgers were in town and beating the Padres twice in a row.
I think you are correct, generally speaking. There are always a segment that are going to complain about anything, but I think that most people are – or I think there's enough people that are cognizant enough of the reality of life of, you know – oh, they brought all these players in. Oh, they say they want to keep payroll at least, you know, at a reasonable level. Oh, okay. Yeah. But with this season and with the timing, yeah, rough.
Yeah. The Arizona Diamondbacks, Kevin, offer a deal. Every year when kids get out of school, and in Arizona, kids get out of school in mid to late May. And it's you can go to every Diamondbacks game left on the schedule for $100 a person, which is insane. They don't have anybody with the star power. You know, Padres have seven guys with more star power than the Diamondbacks. And that's why the Diamondbacks basically can't give away upper deck tickets, even with a competitive team.
And you just nailed it, right? Like, why they do that. They basically can't give away a generally bad team in a horrible bottom five ballpark.
With the roof closed.
That's why they do that. That's why they do that. The Padres don't have to do that. If you owned a fertilizer company, you or a a copy machine company or whatever, you wouldn't give away your product or discount it if you didn't have to, right? Like the comparison, the Diamondbacks, just like the Padres. I don't think anyone should be upset that tickets are expensive. As has often happened, it seems their timing isn't great, and I don't know what they do about it. Right? They got to let season ticket holders know, right? Like they got to do it. It's not Eric Grubner's fault that the team did what you know. What happened in the fourth inning happened in the fourth inning yesterday.
Right, right. It's true, Kevin. I grew up going to Super $5 Monday or Wednesdays or Mondays, something like that, at the old Jack Murphy Stadium, and it was $5 to sit in the lower view. And with the exception of Tony Gwynn, the great exception of Tony Gwynn, we got what we paid for. And I think that that's exactly what's happening here is to a certain extent, the Padres are saying, yeah, it's expensive, but you're going to get what you pay for here. And that's big names, if nothing else. So
big names. Hey, and big names. I think that they were correct. It's not just winning. It's a town because of all this other stuff we got going on because of the expense. It's a town where you got to win. But the big names have been a big part of it, man.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
This weekend, by the way, a big part of it was the Dodgers were in town. I was taken aback. Look, I'm the one who witnessed all, but like after the playoffs, early in the season, it wasn't quite like this. These were big time Dodgers crowds. Yeah. Kudos to the Padres fans who showed up and battled them, you know, with the voices and when things were going well. And certainly the Dodgers winning 3 of 4, having the big innings had a lot to do with it. The crowds were pretty much split most of the nights. And even yesterday I was surprised fewer Dodger fans, but they, you know, I guess they don't work. That will continue to happen with, you know, some of the other teams that have historically a lot more fans. The last couple of years when the Padres are good, they didn't, right? Like the Padres fans were still showing up, maybe not so selling their tickets, but like, you know, I just wonder, and to use Jay Posner's word, it's a tipping point. Yeah. When is it too much for Padres fans?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And that seems like a great place to stop because we have gone over a little bit. Kevin?
This might be our longest show ever.
I think it is. Kevin, enjoy your time in Big Ten country, Seattle, Washington. See, because they joined the Big Ten.
I'm just going to stare into – I'm going to do some work over here while you – that's my new thing. I'll just, you know, pretend that – or, you know, be oblivious. Okay.
That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.